9:30 spot on. You are listening to Radio Islam International. We are busy speaking to Mufti Zubair Bayat with regards to the challenges facing the youth. And this was a lecture delivered at one of the venues in Rustenburg. And Mufti Saab spoke about the challenges there, and he went to a detailed study, alhamdulillah. Let's just do a quick recap of last week's program. One of the challenges facing our youth, number one on top, is apostasy. And the first four things that Mufti Saab discussed was related to ideological threat, you know, the ideological threat that our children face. And number one on top is apostasy. Many children are battling to maintain the identity and to keep up to Islam. And as a result, because of peer pressure, they are falling prey to the customs out there and to the people that are leaving the fold of Islam. So apostasy is number one on top there. And then Mufti Saab spoke about the different groups that are found there. He spoke about the Khawarij, the Shiite group, and also other groups that are found there. We're not going to go into the detail of the discussion. Number three, Mufti Saab spoke about extremism. Under extremism, he spoke about, again, he spoke about the Khawarij, the sect that that's very rigid in its views, and a group that understands that only through warfare the problems of this ummah can be sorted out. And many children or many youngsters have taken a liking to this group, and as a result they have migrated and have fought under them. And they have rigid views with regards to fiqh. Anybody who differs with regards to them, they are killed. Their property is taken away from them, their wealth is taken away from them, and they even have the license of killing innocent children or women who are pregnant. This is a very deviant group, and they were existing from the time of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and who were responsible for the assassination of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and other members of the Ahlul Bayt also. So these people, they are still found today, but they have become even more extremes in the beliefs. During the time of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abdullah bin Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was murdered, who was a son of a Sahabi, and he had a slave girl with him who was pregnant. So they killed him, and they killed the girl, the slave girl that was with him. So that was the heinous crime, and as a result, after that, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu wanted to extract revenge, because that is the Islamic law. If any innocent soul is taken, then you have to take you have to put the perpetrators to task. So when he called for this, then the people said, we were all the murderers of Abdullah ibn Khabbab. And so the battle afterwards of Nahrawan ensued. We know what happened there. Ali radiallahu ta'ala reasoned with them a lot, and whilst he was reasoning with them, they did not give in. And eventually a battle broke out and many lives were lost there. And after that, they plotted the assassination of Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala an, and Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala an, in Egypt. So the assassins decided that on the 17th of Ramadan, some reports mention the 21st, some mention the 17th, be it as it may be, but it was in the month of Ramadan that they decided that at one time, in different places, we will assassinate all three leaders of this Muslim ummah that people can unite on. So in Kufa was Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he came out for the Fajr Salah and he was calling the people towards Salah, Ibn Muljim at that time pounced upon Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and gave him a fatal blow, which later on resulted in his death. 3 days later, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away. But before passing away, he said, if I pass away due to this injury and due to this fatal injury, then you should extract retribution from the killer. However, do not mutilate his body or anything. Only do what's required. That's all. In Sham, in Damascus, Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan was the leader. And there, when they tried to assassinate him, the person was unsuccessful. In Egypt was Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Amr ibn al-As that morning was sick, so he did not go out for the Fajr Salah. He sent a deputy on his behalf, and that person was assassinated that person thought that he assassinated Amr ibn al-As, but he was mistaken. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away in that fatal attack. However, Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan survived the wound, and Amr ibn al-As did not go out because of his illness. So this was a group that was prevalent from that time, and they continued to make mischief, and you find them today that they are also found and making different claims and going into extremism. So this was one of the things that Mufti Saab discussed last week, and another point that Mufti Saab spoke about was Satanism and its effect on the children and school children, also other effects of the society. And lastly, the last point that we ended off on was drugs. Let's see if we do have Mufti Zubair back on the line. We go for a quick breather. When we come back, inshallah, we should be having him on the program. 9:37, you are listening to the Basic Fiqh program on Radio Islam International. We do have Mufti Zubair Bayat online. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Habib, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
Mufti Saab, whilst you were absent, I think we were doing the review of last week's program, and I went through some of the points that was discussed, and inshallah we hope to further the same discussion today, Mufti Saab.
Mashallah, yes, inshallah ta'ala, we shall look at continuing the discussion that we had commenced with last week, or maybe the week before.
Jee, last week we stopped at drugs.
Yes, that's right. We stopped at the discussion on drugs, and like you rounded it up very nicely, Maulana, I found that quite educational, your discussion of the Khawarij and, you know, the way they attacked the senior Sahaba, and how they assassinated Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and attacked the other two great Sahaba, and extremist leanings they had.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very informative. In fact, you touched on those battles and all of that. Nevertheless, we spoke about drugs. And that is a vast subject. It's an ocean of discussion. It's getting bad to worse. We said earlier on that, let alone boys, that was a problem. Today we find that a large number of girls, Muslim girls, our sisters are involved in drugging, and worse still is drinking. So these are very shocking things, but this is one of the big challenges that our youth face, because first of all, there's a lot of affluence in the community, so they have plenty of money available. And with that, if there isn't proper parental supervision and constant direction, so what's going to happen is that they're going to find they've got access to wealth, they've got excessive amount of wealth, and there's nobody really overlooking them. Sometimes they're lacking that extra, what they call TLC, tender loving care, from the parents, because the parents are busy making the money or spending the money. So they feel neglected to some extent, and they've got money on hand, and they think that, you know, by resorting to drugs and so on, it'll give them some kind of excitement or some feeling of a different feeling, like they say, the feeling of ecstasy.
Mm.
Right. But in reality, what they are doing is they're just throwing themselves into a very deep hole. Now, before, it was a thing that drugs was the activity of the wealthy. But today, unfortunately, it has become such that, leave alone the wealthy, even the poor are now into drugging. And this is now, we see the situation, for example, in some of the low-income areas. They've got drugs that have been designed for those areas, like sugars and thick and all of these things. These are not expensive drugs, but they are as potentially deadly at the expense of drugs. In fact, even more deadly, because there are poisonous substances that have been put in there that are very, very detrimental to the human being. You know, in Port Elizabeth area recently, a drug has been introduced that's called crocodile. Mm. Crocodile is like crocodile. A crocodile is a drug that actually eats your body up completely. You see flesh, pieces of flesh fall off the body of a person who takes crocodile. Mm. And so deadly it is that even doctors have thrown up their hands and given up. They've got no way of treating this problem of crocodile. In most instances, it results in the death of a person within a few days.
Hmm.
Now, these are the type of things that... So it's no more a problem of the rich. It's now even the poor people are exposed to this danger because they've designed the drugs according to the economic standard of people. They've made separate drugs for the poor and separate for the rich. Rich people tend to go to cocaine and so on, which is very expensive. But the poor people resort to some of the drugs which I mentioned. I'm no expert on the subject, Maulana. I've just learned a few things from a few, you know, people who are experienced in the field. But it's a matter of grave, grave concern. This is a thing that is wreaking havoc in the ummah, in the community. And Allah protect us all. Nobody is immune to the effects of these drugs. Nobody is immune to the taking of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
People from extremely good homes and families have also fallen into this hole. And once you fall into the hole, it becomes very, very, very difficult to come out. Only illa man rahim Allah. Except that person whom Allah Ta'ala has mercy upon that person, then that is the person who will be able to come out of it. Otherwise, it is very, very difficult.
Mm.
All right, so that was the challenge of drugs. And of course, with that drinking, alcoholism, you know, Maulana, this weekend there was this rage.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard about the rage?
No, Mufti Saab.
It's actually a party that is held here in the coast.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be held very much in Durban before.
Yeah.
But they've now moved it to what you call, they've moved this to... to Balito. You know, Balito is one little place between Durban and Stanger.
Gee.
It's a holiday resort, Zimbali and all of that. I mean, not a holiday resort. It's a town that's known for you know, vacations and holidays and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is there and other places also that these youth get together. And there's about 120,000 of them that come down, Maulana.
SubhanAllah.
Gee, that's the amount of people that come down to the coastal areas, the urban and district. And Maulana, they have parties now galore. There are, such activities happening that are absolutely shocking. There have been, last year, there were cases of children, youngsters, these are matriculants mainly, the post-matric party they have, that as soon as matric exams are over, they're having these parties. And at these parties, all these, it's free for all. It is absolutely free for all. And, it is most unfortunate that a lot of our Muslim children are also caught up in this fitna when this thing happens here. So alhamdulillah, this weekend, Masjid al-Hilal, our markaz in Durban, also arranged a special youth gathering, get together, like a little jor for the youth of Durban.
Mm.
And, you know, inshallah, some will get saved at least, hopefully, many will get saved from the effect of the rage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called the rage. And last year there were in fact a couple of deaths also because of drunkenness and fighting. people kill each other in these places. And basically there's a lot of drugging, drinking, fornicating, all the vices that one can imagine,
mm-hmm.
all happening all at the same time. They also have this in Plettenberg Bay, I believe.
Mm.
That's besides the one that they have here in Palito. So this is the unfortunate thing that, you know, youngsters feel that they now deserve to have all of this what they, after they worked so hard throughout the years of studying, now they feel that this is something that they're entitled to have. And so this activity, the rage, takes place year after year after year. So I think it's important that we should keep this on the radar, Maulana,
mm-hmm.
and in the future, you know, whatever can be done to help our youngsters and to save and protect them, our Muslim brothers, our Muslim sisters, Allah Ta'ala protect them, and we should try and do whatever we can from our side.
Mm-hmm.
So that's as far as the challenge of drugs and drinking is concerned, Maulana.
Mm-hmm.
And may I just then go on to the next challenge then?
Ji, by all means, sir.
So I think maybe we can club that, or we can join that with, I'm using the word club. We can club that with music and rave clubs.
Yeah, just one question on the drug side, Mufti Sahab. You know, there's a famous theory that if you're taking drugs and for 40 days, you mustn't get salah. Maybe if you can answer that theory, Mufti Sahab?
Yes. No, it's completely wrong. This is a misconception. People think that, no, if you haven't been, if you've been taking drugs, you shouldn't reach salah for 40 days. There's no such a thing. What it actually refers to is that if a person has been taking drugs, it's like drinking.
Mm.
And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as a warning, that those people who drink, their salah won't be accepted for 40 days. So it means that they're not going to get the full reward and sawab of their salah. The validity of the salah is not in question. It is like many such ahadith where it is stated, لا يقبل منه عدل ولا صرف, that neither his nafil salah nor his far salah will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is meant by acceptance here is acceptance in the sense of obtaining the reward thereof, but not a reference to the validity. As far as validity is concerned, that is not in question. The salah is regarded as valid. The obligation is removed, but the reward is taken away. So, the idea is to deter people as a kind of a deterrence, as a warning to them, not to indulge in these haram things, because the effort of the ibadat will be destroyed as a result of it. So that is the explanation to, you know, for those people who think that you shouldn't be reading salah. No, it is it's not correct to say you shouldn't read salah for 40 days.
Hmm.
Yeah.
We can move on with stuff to music, inshallah.
Yes, the next thing, of course, it's like, you know, part of the same club, part of the same gang, part of the same activity, it goes like hand in hand, is the music and rave clubs.
Gee.
Goes hand in hand with drugs and drinking and all of that. This is now where we find that, you know, music is a thing that ruqyatu shaitan. It is the ta'khid and the wazifas of the shaitan. And this is what makes, you know, affects the youth. They get influenced by the music. They go into a kind of a make-believe world, imaginary world. and the lyrics of that music, some of it is very, very offensive, very, very evil, very wicked, very subliminal in its effect on the mind. You know, a lot of theories and discussions have gone on how music is no more just a kind of a, you know, some melodious sound of some musical instrument. It's become a very sophisticated art, and there is, you know, subtle elements that have been introduced into it. There are things like backtracking, backmasking, very, very frightening things where if you listen to the lyrics backwards, the opposite of what is being said is said in the back when you listen to it backwards. And the human mind has the ability to sort of decipher those things. The subconscious mind can decipher those messages, subliminal messages that are embedded in it, in a way that it gets embedded in the subconscious mind. So there have been instances of youngsters, boys, girls, who have been listening to a lot of music. You know, you get this, whatever different types of music, rock and metal and heavy metal and underground and Allah knows what and what. You know, I'm way behind time, or maybe the youngsters may be just laughing and saying that, you know what, things, the world has gone far ahead. But nevertheless, the things that we remember, these are some of the things that, you know, in the music world. And there have been instances where, you know, young boys and girls have been listening to this music very avidly, listening one way, and it had an effect on their mind to the extent that there have been instances where some of them were caught committing a crime. Some almost killed their parents, and they got caught red-handed. And then when they were quizzed about it, they said that we kept hearing a voice saying, kill your father, kill your mother. So they got into investigating all of this, and they found that it had to do with the music that they were listening to. So, Mohan, it's not as simple as people think that, okay, it's just a lot of jarring noises. There is Satanism embedded in all of these things. There's evil and wickedness embedded in the music of today. And, you know, as the years go, it becomes more alluring and attractive. And it becomes so attractive and so captivating that it becomes very difficult for our youth to get out of it. And of course, with that goes the rave clubs where, you know, there's the dancing and the jiving and, you know, all the people together, the DJs, you know, whooping up the sentiments and the emotions and getting the crowd, so to say, going, and everybody's on the dance floor and the halal, all the vices and evil and haram that is imaginable, you know, that eventually results in all kinds of haram, adultery, fornication is all taking place, and drugs and drink are just flowing freely. And into the wee hours of the morning, all this is going on. And people become, you know, like zombies, so to say, Maulana. They almost lose their mind. They don't even know what they're doing. And, you know, it is in these type of places that all the haram takes place. There have been instances of youth who passed away in a rave club. On an overdose of drugs. In fact, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel, rahmatullahi alayhi, a great senior, mentioned several instances like this in some of his bayans. And I remember one of the bayan he mentioned, that this youngster who passed away in the rave club, he was screaming, leave me, don't take me, leave me. And the people were, his friends who were around him were shaken and shocked that who is he talking to and what is he saying? Because they say you could see his face contorted, and he was like in a frenzy of some sort, shocked. So nevertheless, he passed away right there. Allah Ta'ala make maghfirat. We all are weak and we all are sinners.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look down on anyone. But it is a very, very grave thing, very, very dreadful thing to hear of a Muslim boy passing away in a rave club in a state of intoxication with all that haram, the music, belting around. Many youngsters made tawbah after this incident, came to realize that this is not a place I want to die. I don't want this kind of a death. And that is why Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Ali, many of his du'as, we used to say, oh Allah, do not let Malakul Maut catch me or find me in some disco, in some cinema, in some rave club, in some prostitution place, and my maut must come to me in such a place. Always Maulana Rahmatullah Ali used to make this du'a. Because of the instances that came in front of him of people who passed away in these terrible places. So when they came to ask him, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali explained to these youngsters that he had seen Malakul Maut coming to take his ruh. And can you imagine what form Malakul Maut must have taken when he came to take his ruh in such an evil and wicked place? Obviously, Malakul Maut wouldn't be coming in that beautiful, handsome, shining format that he comes to take the souls of the believers. He's going to come in that dreadful form, in that very frightening form. And this young boy possibly saw him in that most dreadful form coming to take his ruh. And he must have thought to himself that where am I? What a place, I'm dying. So therefore, he was screaming, shouting, leave me, leave me. But is Malakul Maut going to leave a person just because of that, Maulana?
Allah, but no.
Never, ever. Time is written, if it's written, Allah save us. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from an evil death. To die in such a place, in such an action. Then, تَمُوتُونَ كَمَا تَحْيُونَ وَتُحْشَرُونَ كَمَا تَمُوتُونَ The hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ will be raised up again then. In that very act that we were indulging in which we died, Allah forbid to be raised on the day of Qiyamah in some haram action. What a disgrace, what a humiliation. So we find that this is the dangers that they face. This is the challenge of the music and the rave clubs, the discos, the dancing, the jiving. It all seems very enjoyable and wonderful when a person is indulging in it at that point in time. But when a person realizes later on what it was, then you become revulsed and repulsed by the thought that how could I have indulged in such stupid and haram things? Inshallah, I think I'm sure we're running out of time.
Gee, Mufti Sahib, inshallah, next week
we shall continue with this discussion. Inshallah, Ta'ala.
Inshallah, Mufti Sahib, Jazakumullah for your time, much appreciated.
Okay, Mufti.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
10 o'clock, time to sign out.